Welcome to your Mum Life podcast, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of motherhood, exploring the connections that bind us all. I'm your host, Jasmine, a fellow mum, navigating the beautiful chaos of parenting. In each episode, we'll embark on a journey together, a journey that goes beyond the surface of sleepless nights and nappy changes. This podcast is a celebration of the shared experiences that unite us as mothers. Whether you're a first-time mum or a seasoned pro, your Mum Life podcast is here to remind you that you are not alone in this incredible adventure. Expect candid conversations about the triumphs and challenges, the moments of pure joy, and the times when you question if you're doing it right. So grab your favourite beverage, find a comfy spot, and join me every week as we unveil the raw, unfiltered truths of motherhood. This is your Mum Life, where the power of connection transforms the journey of motherhood. Thank you for tuning in and let's get connected. Hey, I have a very special co-host. My husband, Matt, is going to be helping me run through some questions and just so you guys can get to know a little bit more about me, why I want to do this podcast, and hopefully I'll give you a little insight to some of my own personal experiences that I'll be bringing to this podcast. So I hope you enjoy.
So I thought we could start off, if you wanted to, just talk a little bit about your early family life and what it was like, nice and quick, and I suppose some of the lessons you took away from growing up.
So early family life, well, basic family background, I am one of two sisters, which is what I grew up with, was quiet, I suppose, compared to what I have now. And it was just, me, my sister, my mum and my dad. We did move around a lot when we were little. We spent a chunk of time living out in a town called Leinster, which is out near Kalgoorlie, because my dad worked on the mines out there. And then just before I started school, we moved to Perth and into the hills. And I think that kind of is the basis of who I am, is the early life and where I grew up is in and amongst nature and open space, which is something that I know my parents really wanted to show me and my sister. We did a lot of travel when we were younger, so I think at the heart of it, I am a hills bush girl.
What are some of the fondest memories you have, probably that sort of before you were, 10 or 12 years old?
Lots of camping and holidays. We did a lot of driving, even just on the weekend. Mum and Dad said, right, we're getting out the house, we're going for a drive, whether it be just in the middle of the bush and then we get out and go for a walk, or we have driven up to Karajini and done camping there, to Uluru, mostly WA though, which I will always appreciate that I got to experience my home state before I sort of ventured off the rest of Australia and the world. We are a close family, so lots of close inside jokes, as always, laughter in our household.
Any sort of lessons or things that you took away from your own, I suppose, the way your own mum and dad did things to how you mother the kids now in particular?
Oh.
Put you on the spot.
You're gonna get me in trouble if I say anything differently. Well, I think it's hard because, which I think I will touch on later, is, like I said, I grew up with one sister, whereas now I'm in a house of boys, so it is just totally different. Me and my sister for the most part were quiet and happy to sort of, play with dolls and Barbies and those sorts of things. But I think I just liked the closeness of our family, that for the most part, we went through everything together. We unfortunately did have a lot of tragedy happen in our lives over a short period of years. And just knowing how strong our family and how connected we were during that time is something I want for our family.
What was teenage Jasmine like? Just a short, sharp snapshot. What were your sort of future goals and aspirations when you were 15 years old going to high school?
Teenage Jasmine, honestly, is nothing like today Jasmine. Teenage Jasmine was not sure of herself. She thought she had it worked out what she wanted to do. She was wrong. She made a couple of bad choices, and we won't go into that, but she did make some bad choices. And she struggled to find friendships and let that be a reflection of herself, thinking if I can't make friends and I'm not good enough to have them, or I'm the problem. And since growing up, I am proud to say that is no longer the case. I think 15-year-old Jasmine would be very, hopefully proud, but definitely shocked to see how much we've changed.
Were you always wanting to be a mum?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely always wanted to be a mum. The time frame of it changed. But yes, definitely always, like, kids were not, they were never not a thing in my life.
So, yeah, without going through all the nitty-gritty details, we met and started dating pretty quick. And not that there really is a right way, but you'd say close to the right way. We sort of, we
dated. Maybe not so much the right, the traditional way.
Traditional way, that's the word I was looking for. Yes, we started dating. We, you know, we travelled together. We bought a house together. We got a dog. We then got married, fell pregnant.
When I met you, I was definitely not looking, well, I wasn't looking at all, to be honest. I was just coming out of a toxic relationship that I was not letting go of, and thankfully you yanked me away from it, whether that was an intentional or not. But yeah, once we started hanging out and officially dating, yeah, everything kind of just flowed, really. Like, people talk about, you know, the big things in life, like buying a house, getting married, all that stuff. I don't remember us ever actually discussing it. It was kind of just a given that it was going to happen. And yeah, it just kind of flowed, and the timing was...
At the age of 20, you were diagnosed with cancer. Just talk us through, again, very quickly, because you could spend hours on this, but the initial thoughts, the fears, the concerns, what goes through the mind of a 20-year-old when you're sitting in a doctor's office and they drop the C-bomb on you?
Yeah, definitely I could fit this whole thing into another episode, but briefly, basically I was on my way to uni, thinking that, you know, nothing of it. I knew that I was waiting for the results of a biopsy, but the word cancer just, I don't know why, it just never entered my brain. And all of a sudden my phone's going off, my mum's calling me, my GP is calling me, Sir Charles Gardner's Hospital is calling me. And then all of a sudden I'm in a room with a surgeon and he's telling me that I have cancer, and it's just an indescribable feeling. I think I kind of, my eyes glazed over and I stopped listening for a minute and then realized I should probably listen. But yeah, it's definitely absolutely life altering. Thankfully for us, it was actually a small little hiccup and then sent me on my new path, which was to... Yeah, like, I mean, at that point, we'd only been dating for like 3 years, I think. So, yeah, we obviously, like I said, we knew that eventually we would get married and have kids and stuff. But I think for me personally, it kind of fast forward it a little bit, because I was then a little bit scared that, one, it would come back and I would have had done nothing with my life. And then two, through the chemo, it was possible that the number of eggs that I had was drastically reduced. So I panicked thinking, if we don't have kids soon, we're not going to have them at all. So yeah, it kind of then set off the trajectory for the rest of our life, which has been good since then. So 10 years and it's not come back. So as much as it was absolutely traumatic going through all of that, I still take it as it was meant to happen, because now I'm doing things that I really love doing. Like, I'm, you know, we've got our family, I changed career paths, I have something, I became a mum and now I'm here doing, you know, a little passion project.
So let's talk about pregnancy on the whole. Again, you'll talk about this later on, but give us your elevator pitch for pregnancy. Is it all the hype?
Well, see, my pregnancies weren't that bad overall. Like, my morning sickness was reasonable and stopped after the first trimester, whereas I know obviously lots of women go through worse. So thankfully that was bearable. I think I like being pregnant until the end, which I think a lot of women can relate to, and you just like, get out of me. Yeah, for me it was good. I enjoyed it. Obviously we had, with Charlie, there was a little hiccup where we thought he was coming very early, but he decided to stay put. But yeah, both of them, no complications. Cooper went a week over, which was the longest week of my life. Charlie thankfully decided to come on his due date. But yeah, pregnancy, give it like a 8 out of 10.
You mentioned the going over due date, and I'm sure any woman who has gone past her due date can certainly relate to this. You're waddling around the house at 40 plus weeks. I remember all the old wives' tales to try and accelerate labour. What was the emotion cocktail that you had going just before heading into hospital? Was it excitement, nerves, terror?
I think with Cooper, the excitement hit because he was the first baby. Like, you're like, yes, this is where we're happening, we're a go. And I think you felt the same way because it was kind of like, okay, here comes the action after all that waiting.
Bring it on, let's go.
Yeah. And then with Cooper, I had the, like, everything went to plan because I wanted an epidural. I got my epidural. I mean, it slowed down for a bit. I'm now reflecting on my, now I'm thinking about not 100% to plan. So everything slowed down after I got my epidural and he didn't want to come out. I was pushing for an hour, if over an hour, and he wouldn't come out. So they had to use forceps, which obviously that wasn't a part of my plan, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, he came out. It was after Cooper's birth that for me was more traumatic because of my epidural, my bladder stopped working and I had to have the catheter put back in, which also gave me a UTI. So that whole healing process, because I tore, so I had stitches, and then all of a sudden I've got tubes going in and out me again. So that was traumatic, and that was actually what changed my mind about having an epidural with Charlie. I was like, I don't want that anywhere near me. I'm not doing that again, purely for the afterbirth process, not necessarily the birth process. And then Charlie's was way smoother. Another slight hiccup was his head wasn't locked in place. So there was like a gap between his head and the membrane or whatever it's called. And they were worried that the umbilical cord would get wrapped around his head. So for like maybe like 5-10 minutes, we thought I was going in for an emergency C-section. But the midwives advocated for me so well. They were like, no, give it a minute. Like, let her stand up, let her move around. Let's just see if we can fix it first. And it did. And that was probably one of the, well, out of the two, was probably my better birth. And then after was good too.
Speaking of our two lovely young boys, not neither. The first one, we didn't know the gender, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was kind of something I wanted to do and you ended up agreeing and going along with it. Two questions. First, are you glad you made that choice or we made that choice?
Definitely. I've told people since, like, I've had people come to me and say, I'm like, didn't you want to know? And it's like, well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, if you want to start buying stuff beforehand, but I think we're in a world now where, like, you can buy gender neutral stuff and no one really bats an eyelid. So it was easy enough just to buy, like, white and grey and whatever. And they grow out of stuff so quickly. So the moment I still remember the moment that Cooper came out and the first thing that I saw was that he was a boy.
little balls.
That definitely was a special moment because we both wanted a boy. Like, we didn't even have a girl's name essentially. So that moment where it was like realized, like, we got what we wanted, it was special for sure.
So you're saying to anyone sitting on the fence about learning the gender, definitely think it all the way through, because once you find out, you can't go back, and it's definitely a special experience.
It's definitely a special experience, one that I ruined for you the second time.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to mention that, but that's all right. All right, so baby born out of hospital, first few weeks at home, again, probably another topic for another day. How was early learnings as a young mum?
Well, going through it twice, no, Cooper is like the exception because that was COVID. Like, he was born the start of February and COVID hit in March. So, like, those couple of little weeks, you know, you're still recovering. So, I don't remember much of that time. I do remember you going out to the shops and then coming back and saying, oh, my God, like, everything's empty. But I was absolutely in my little bubble. Like, I had no idea because I pretty much didn't leave the house because you weren't allowed to, really. And I had a newborn, so I didn't want to risk it. Thankfully, I had already met my mother's group by the time the actual lockdowns happened, and that was lifesaver. Cooper's harder to, like, because it was just such extreme circumstances. Charlie also different because obviously we had Cooper at home, so they were both different in different ways. Newborns enjoy the cuddles is all I can say.
You mentioned your mother's group and what a lifesaver that was. As you said, you kind of jumped in and got in right before COVID really took over and lockdowns happened. And as I understand it, you kind of went rogue a little bit, set up your messenger groups and kind of did your own thing.
We didn't go rogue. We had no choice because we got to our second meeting organised by the child health nurse and it was apparently cancelled and we didn't know. Which a lot of us have said, like, thank goodness we all still went. So we just sat in the park and chatted, and then we knew there would be no meetings. So we thought the only way we're going to stay in touch is if we do it ourselves.
And I suppose just in a quick sentence or two, how much of a game changer has it been having those group of girls around to bounce ideas off and cry to? And
for me
that?
Personally, it has been like the greatest thing ever. Like, I have friend, like at the time I had friends who were having babies, but like this group of girls who I'm still close with now, like the last 4 years, I have made some of the best friends that I have ever had. I said earlier, I wasn't good at making friends in my teenage years. I have learned what to look for in those friends that make them so valuable, and I'm blessed to say that I have found a couple.
You mentioned COVID. As you said, Cooper was born just before everything kicked off and we went into a world of masks and lockdown and empty shop shelves and all the rest of it. Aside from not being able to sort of get out and see people as much, what sort of impact did it have? Was it a really negative one, or was it pretty manageable on the whole?
I think for me it was manageable. Like I said, I had that mother's group where we were talking every single day, like through Messenger. I think if I had been like I can see how it would have been absolutely isolating for a new mum, because if you didn't have close family, if you didn't have close friends, and you were literally shut in your house with a newborn, it would have been awful. I think I was one of the lucky ones that it managed to be manageable for me.
And then we sort of fast forward through the first kind of couple of years of Cooper's life. I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, the toddler years kind of hit us like a bit of a truck and more than we probably expected it to.
Yeah.
Cooper was thankfully a pretty good baby, slept really well. But once he sort of hit that, you know, 18 months, 2 years, he became a bundle of energy.
Mm. I always think back to that old wives' tale, like an easy baby means a hard toddler. And I was like, that is Cooper, 100%.
Which the lead-on effect of that probably was us pushing back the decision to try for number two.
Definitely.
Probably extending that age gap from two closer to 3 years, which we ended up having.
Yeah, we always said that we were going to do roughly two-year gap, which seems to be quite standard. I mean, for both of us, a larger gap is not foreign. There's 4 years between me and my sister and like 7 between you and your youngest brother. So it's not, you know, it wasn't like we were like, oh no, we can't do that. It was just we thought we would have them closer. And then, yeah, Cooper proved that maybe we needed to wait a little bit longer to get our sanity back.
And then once we made that decision, little Charlie started cooking away. And life with two. So at this stage, you've got a newborn and a about to turn 3-year-old. How big of a change was that as opposed to just life with the newborn?
Huge. It was all of a sudden you were giving all your attention to Charlie because he needed it, and Cooper not being able to process, which I think also going back to us waiting longer, like Cooper was literally turning 3 when Charlie was born. So he was sort of that little bit more understanding, can be a little bit more helpful. Like it was exciting to him, like that this new baby was coming, which I wouldn't change. I'm so happy with the gap that we decided with. But yeah, obviously he is going to be aware that the baby is getting more attention, and like a year on, we're still struggling with that because you're parenting them differently. And I think Cooper's aware of that. He's like, why am I always getting told off? It's like, well, Charlie's a baby. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. You mentioned always wanting to be a mum. You probably had visions of dollhouses and, you know, tea parties with little girls and whatnot, but it was pretty evident pretty quick. You were a boy mum and that was
that. I wanted to be a boy mum. Initially, I grew up with family friends that had two little boys, and I don't know why, I just liked watching them play and their relationship. And when you said that you wanted two boys, it was kind of like, well, it's all piecing together, we're going to have two boys. It wasn't until Cooper was born and that I experienced what it was like to be a boy mum, I was like, a girl would be nice.
quieter.
Yes, yep.
And then, so, I mean, you did this after Cooper was born eventually, and I didn't mention it because knowing we'd get to it a bit later, but you went back to work after a few months off with Charlie. How do you find the work balance and going back to work? And just talk me through quickly, again, probably another topic you could go to in far more detail, but the emotions that come with sending little boys off to daycare and you toddling off to your job again.
See, I am all for it. I love going to work. I love having a job outside of the house. It's funny because I know we're in this age where lots of mums do want to stay home. They want to work from home. They're trying to make money from home so they can be with their kids. Some days I could actually think of nothing worse, which, you know, pin me as a bad mum.
You're allowed to say that.
That's fine. But I need my own separate thing outside of the house. And, you know, with not a lot of time for extracurricular activities. Like, I mean, I tried sport recently, but, you know, at the end of the day, if going out and earning money is something that I can do separately on my own in a career that I actually really enjoy as well. Yes, I love it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's the days, particularly Cooper recently hates going into daycare. He'd prefer school. So those days that he looks at me with that, like, ugh.
Don't leave me.
His eyes are like, don't leave me. I feel absolute guilt, but he always has a good day in the end. So I'm like, it's fine, it's fine. We're fine. Yes, I love going to work.
All right. We spent the best part of half an hour talking about Jasmine as a mum. Now, you touched on it briefly at the start, but you've certainly changed since you were that angsty, friendless teenager.
Thanks.
You know, cruising around high school. But who are you without your kids? Who is the real Jasmine behind the mum, behind the boys, behind the mess, behind
the
dinosaurs?
That's a very deep, loaded question because I don't think I've 100% worked it out yet.
Well, give us a snapshot. What do you like to do? Who are you?
You make me cry because I feel like this is like such a topic in motherhood is like, yeah, like you are not just... you're a mum or a wife, you are yourself, like, and I feel like definitely in the last year or two I am working that out. So I guess me without my kids, I enjoy reading. I discovered reading last year and I have literally not stopped. I like to think that I'm a bit artistic. Probably the most I delve into that at the moment is like a little bit of graphic design and stuff like that, which is actually what I was doing at uni before I dropped out the second time. I don't know. I'm someone that likes to hang out with her friends and chat and catch up. I'm also someone that likes to stay at home, snuggled up on the couch, watching a good movie. Yeah. I mean, that sounds really sad that that's all I'm, you know, reducing myself to. I'm ambitious with work. I have massive career goals, but they're just on hold while the boys are little. I do have big career goals, which I think I'm excited for. I'm a family person. I love that we literally see our families like once, if not twice a week. Yeah. Secretly emo.
Still got the same playlist from 2006.
Not a phase, Mum.
And so what's next? Two boys, 1 and 4, back at work. What's the next, maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years look like?
All right. I'll start with this.
It's a loaded question.
No more kids. We have decided we're two and done.
We?
I have decided we are two and done.
She's booked me in for the snip and I don't even know about it.
For now. I just don't think our family... it wouldn't be fair to, like, the current children to bring another child into the mix for all sorts of reasons, but that's another story for another day. Like I said, I have career goals I work in real estate. Big end of 10-year dream goal would actually be to run my own agency, but that's big pipe dream. A lot of stuff has to happen.
If you're not running a podcast empire by then.
Yeah, if I'm not running a podcast empire by then. Yeah, it would be to run my own agency. I don't know. Just be happy, I guess. I mean, I feel like you could possibly agree, we are quite very much in survival mode at the moment, both with just the boys.
Who isn't in this economy?
I know, it's insane. But, you know, hopefully 10 years passes and we can comfortably sit back and go, yeah, we are where we want to be, whether that's in this house renovated or a brand new house or whatever. But, yeah, there's goals I would like to kick, but I think for right now it's just enjoying family.
Okay, I thought we'd finish with some more kind of short, sharp questions. So I've got a handful here. Over the next sort of 5 minutes or so, I'm just going to throw them at you and just the first thing that comes to your mind. And these are sort of some parenting, some Jasmine related. So are you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Number one piece of parenting advice that you got.
Oh, that I got?
Yes.
Jesus, that's a hard one. That's not a quick question. Go easy on yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. Everyone's gone through something similar.
First thing you'd change or do differently about your time being pregnant?
Oh, nothing. I think, yeah, like I said, it was a good pregnancy, so no, it was fine.
Best thing a partner can do to help during that first month?
Feed your wife or whoever's carrying that child. Feed them, give them water.
All of the snacks.
Look after them, yeah.
The biggest waste of money purchase for a baby?
Oh, I feel like we've had a couple of them. I don't know. It depends on the baby, though, because, like, for example, Cooper's comforter, like his little teddy that he loves, is a $7 thing from Kmart.
Yeah.
Whereas,
I was hoping you'd go there because of the hundreds of dollars of soft toys that get bought for a new baby, and like, then they choose to pick a $4 little piece of cloth.
Yeah, no, so I think I contemplated getting, I think it's like the riffraff or whatever, some expensive. I'm glad we didn't because Cooper didn't need it, although in saying that, I think Charlie might, but no, that's an off podcast topic.
And then what was the biggest game changer purchase that you didn't think would be amazing, but really was a game changer?
It wasn't so much a game changer purchase. It was for my mother, for my baby shower with Cooper, my auntie gave me a box of medicine, like baby Panadol, all this sort of stuff, which is stuff I didn't even think I needed to buy. And it's one of those things where it's like, you don't need it until you need it. But I had it because she bought it for me. And I've actually done it for several friends as their baby shower gifts now because I think it's the best idea ever. Yeah.
Next one is, aside from the obvious, like health and, you know, being safe and whatever, what is the biggest concern for our kids?
What do you mean?
As in, like, are you concerned that they, you know, won't find their way or they're all about their school?
I've got concern, Cooper, I was talking about this the other day with friends. Cooper gravitates to one child. Like at daycare he had his one best friend, and even at school, literally day one, he's made his like one best friend. And I know that like school obviously deliberately each year mixes them up so they make other friends, but like just seeing Cooper's reaction when his daycare friends stopped going to daycare, that worried me. I was like, you need to make other friends, buddy. Like even from my own personal experience, I was like, just don't be afraid to just make friends with everyone, because you don't know where those good relationships are going to start. I mean, he's best friends with this kid at the moment. They could change. And then all of a sudden he's got no friends. Like, that's what I'm worried about with Cooper at the moment.
All right. If you could go for a holiday away without the kids, where are you going?
Oh, so you're allowed to
say this. It's okay.
So many.
It's not going to happen, but where are you going?
I'll shout from bloody rooftops. I know you're not one for this. Matt's very much an adventure holiday. I just want to go somewhere quiet, where I can sit by the pool, have a cocktail and read my book. I don't care where it is, just that's what I want to do.
And holiday with the kids, where would you take them if you could just take them somewhere tomorrow?
Well, we discussed this, that I would like to go to what I did as a kid. I wanted to drive them up to Exmouth and all that.
10 hours in a car with the kids in a row.
We'll make it work. Maybe we'll make it work.
Sounds
thrilling. And you would take breaks.
What do you think when I say the word routine?
What's that? What is this foreign word you speak of?
Is there such a thing? Can you get into a routine? And how often, if you do, does it change?
I think if you're committed to it, you can get into a routine. I don't think we're committed to it. I think we are very go with the flow people.
It only changes on the days that end in Y.
Yeah. I could wake up and go, yep, today is routine day. We're doing X, Y, Z by, you know, whatever times. And then all of a sudden Charlie wants to have a nap at that time. Cooper cracks it and you just need to be quiet. Like, it's just nothing in our life is consistent at the moment. So why am I going to try and force it to be consistent? So I'm sure one day we will have routine, but right now with a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old is not the time.
Plan to do A, B, C, D, do C, A, B, yeah. D,
no, it's X. Just not happening.
Not happening. The number one unexpected lifesaver thing you packed in your hospital bag for giving birth.
I know why you asked this question. It is 100% adult nappies. You laugh at me, but I don't know who told me about it, but I've seen people since. So obviously, like, we know why. We're women here. A couple of men probably know why. It's perfection. You're not going to leak. You don't have to worry about...
Contains the mess.
It is. And there's a lot of mess. So it's just, yep, cool, easy. It's easy to get on, like, you know. I've seen other women, you know, they get, like, the witch hazel and all that stuff and ice packs and, like, it's if you're wondering what aftercare looks like for you, it's adult nappies.
Ditch the ego, grab the nappies,
yep.
Suck it up and just do it.
Yep, depends.
Easy for me to say. Please sponsor me. And then the last one I had, again, this is a whole nother episode in itself, but give us a snapshot. What does Jasmine do for self-care?
Jasmine, self-care at the moment is reading. Reading is currently my escapism. Because it's like, just take me away to fairyland, please. Depends on the day. Like, sometimes self-care can be like, okay, I know I'm going to feel better if the house looks better, so I spend the day cleaning. Because I know mentally I'm like, I cannot function in this space. Doing something that I enjoy. So recently I started doing Ultimate Frisbee with a friend. Which I felt like a form of self-care because I was away from my kids. I was away from people who even knew my kids. And that was kind of nice to be in that space. That for me was like, I needed that. But then more basic is, yeah, reading my book. I love going to get a massage. I'm going to get my nails done, maybe.
That's all I had for you. Was that fun? How'd you find that?
Intense in parts, I'm not going to lie. I only briefly read these questions before we started, so there was a few intense moments.
I hope this gives a good insight into Jasmine, the voice on the other end of the microphone, and hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully you've learned a few things and certainly given you plenty of ammunition for future stories and tales to tell along the way. And I think it's good to get a bit of an intro to Jasmine the mum and Jasmine the person.
Well, thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you got something out of it. Being the first episode, it's probably a little bit rough. I promise I will make it tighter and neater. But if there's any topics you want me to discuss in particular or any questions you have from this episode, please let me know. You can follow me over on Instagram at Your Mum Life Podcast. I would love to chat and connect with you. But until next time, have a good week.